this well construction that you talked about on the diagram here. Would that type of construction allow the water from the more shallow aquifers to communicate down with the water in the deeper aquifers? More so than would occur naturally?
Okay, to recap, what I thought I heard you say is we're dealing with this particular well and that type of construction here that has an 18-foot seal, right? And we're assuming this is saturated surface gravel. Could this construction create a hydraulic connection between this surface gravel aquifer and these units below?
Correct.
Or are you speaking specifically of just between here and here?
Yes, with anything below where the water is flowing down in the outside of the casing into any other aquifer below. Is it not allowing communication between the aquifers?
I believe in many cases, at least from here to here, well, actually to the bottom of that, but this, it's very likely that this has been hydraulically connected through the drilling process. Our hope as the regulator in meeting the intent of our rules that the termination of this pipe in this layer prevented the hydraulic connection of this and this or this. We've been counting on that for years, but have come to conclude that it's not nearly as reliable as what we were led to believe by the drilling community in the past. That what's reliable is a bigger hole around this casing and the pumping of a grout material positively placed from this point back to here. So in answering your question related to how thick confining layer should be and what happens on this side, what happens on that side, what I have concluded over the years is I don't know, I end up with more questions then I end up with answers, but there is an ultimate answer in well construction that kind of solves all these problems, is if you really want to protect the subsurface, you seal it from this point back, because you know you've covered everything that may or may not be a confining layer that existed before the well was constructed. If we talk about, well, in this well we should seal here, and we should seal here, and in the next well we should seal here and here, that's always a moving target for a regulator, but if we seal from the source to the surface, which would actually be the optimum in well construction, in my opinion, and some other, we don't have to know what these conditions are, because we know if they are like this or aren't, we've sealed them by placing seal material from here back to the surface and put it back at least as good as it was.
Okay, Mr. Whitman, may I interrupt just for a minute? And as you testify and narrate, would you please refer to, as you did at least once, refer to the location that you're talking about, for instance, source to surface. If you're telling us from this to this, or from here to there, it's meaningless in the record. You understand
Understood.
What I'm
yes.
saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Do you want to correct or expound on your answer there?
Well, for the record, that when I talk about sealing from the source to the surface, the only thing that the consumer wants or the driller wants in the end is good water from the production zone. Everything else that he has gone through and passed on the way from the surface to the source obviously wasn't something they wanted to produce. So there's no reason except for that you just can't, through some types of processes, drilling and driving, for example, effectuate a seal from the source to the surface. You intend to isolate the source from the rest of what's above it, but that doesn't necessarily account for any connection that's occurred between the bottom of the surface seal and, let's call it, the top of the formation seal that theoretically was created by the termination of the casing into that clay.
Does the Department of Water Resources have standards now that require sealing all the way from the source to the surface?
The standards related to the construction of artesian wells, and an artesian well being one that an aquifer that's encountered that the water level rises above the level at which it was encountered, doesn't necessarily have to flow, which this certainly qualifies if we're talking about production zones below the surface gravel as an artesian condition. The existing rule requires that a seal be placed, one, in the confining layer overlying the producing interval, and at every other confining layer that separates aquifers. And I'm sorry, I don't have my well construction standards book with me. I could reference the rule.
Well, if there's drainage from the upper aquifer down along the casing to a lower area or a lower aquifer, there's communication between the aquifers. Is the shallower aquifer going to go dry first?
Not necessarily. It depends on the direction of that exchange. I would tend to think that a lot of the places I have seen up and down at least the river corridor where we have increasing potentials with depth, I'm more suspicious of leakage from artesian zones up and out in that direction than from these surface gravels downward. In many cases, you have to know what those potentials are, but as we get farther down the river bottom and we get into wells that flow at land surface, well, many of them, they may not end up flowing at land surface because they're actually leaking off. And again, this is something, an opinion I have developed over years of seeing this. We may have water that's actually leaked out into the surface gravel from some lower zone, or maybe it's not even the production zone. One of the concerns is if it's leaking from here up into here, that's a waste of water by rules. It constitutes waste, which our well construction standards are intended to prevent.
So the water flow could be either way then, upward or down?
Yes. Just it'd be from higher pressure to lower pressure.
All right, how about up there in the North Eagle area where all of those red, orange, pink dots, whatever you want to call them, where they're located, away from the river? What's the situation there?
I I would have to really be looking at some drill logs and know where static water levels were and where various waters were encountered, but just at a glance, I would say the farther that you went north off of the river where you have such high water tables in the surface gravels that you might even get into a scenario where the surface gravels were somewhat of a perched aquifer that have been saturated by irrigation, the canals and that kind of stuff. I know out there we have it seems to me that some of the water level contours I've seen, they kind of go up and down, and that's influenced by the Farmers Union Ditch and some of those canals out there, which can contribute to charging the surface gravels. Well, if we have a confining layer below the surface gravel and maybe some relatively unsaturated sediments until we get to the next water table, which may in fact be artesian, but say in the surface gravel we had 15 foot static and 50 feet of gravel, and then some dry, relatively dry sediments, probably somewhat saturated, but then we got down to some of those coarse white sands that you see out there, say, well, in M3's little finger that comes out by the vet clinic off Highway 16, some very coarse white sands down there 200 to 400 feet that are very productive as far as water. Certainly if we had a little perched surface gravel aquifer that had was underlain by something that had lower potential, you could drain, if through the construction of wells you created an avenue, or even through the construction of sewer lines and lift stations. We see a lot of excavations that go deep enough to get below the surface gravels and may breach a confining layer that we can't regulate because it's not a well.
So would you say the further you move away from the river, the more likely it is that the flow will be from the shallow aquifer down than it would be from the deeper aquifer with an upflow?
I don't know.
I'm going to have to object to this. I think it does go beyond the scope, and I'll again ask for hydrogeology beyond the confines of the well questions that we were asking.
Overruled.
Your question once again, Mr. Smith.
The further you move away from the river, is it more likely that the shallow aquifers are going to drain down than it is that the deeper aquifers are going to have an upflow as you move north away from the river? Or do you know?
I guess I decline to answer because without seeing that specific hydraulic information, I can't say for sure. I do know that the water would tend to move from a higher static to a lower static.
Are you aware of the Vincent Owsley McVeigh memo, exhibit number 50? Are you aware of that?
I'm aware of a staff memo from our hydrology staff. I don't know that I've...
Have you read it?
No.
Are you aware that on page 4 of the McVeigh memo,
do we have
attached to that exhibit 50, the statement is made that all wells, with the exception of one, exhibit
50
negative water level trends that range from 0.11 to 1.06 for the year, with an average trend for all wells of -0.29 for the year.
Objection. The witness testified he hasn't read this. Furthermore, this mischaracterizes, I believe, Mr. McVeigh's testimony which amended in some ways what he set forth in the staff memo.
Okay, well, technically, the question as asked says, are you aware, the previous question was, have you read the memo? Mr. Whitney said he had not, so he certainly would not be aware of the statement, Mr. Smith. So let's ask the question again and see where we stand, and maybe we can refer to the particular passage now that Mr. Whitney has the Exhibit 50.
Do you have it there? Are you aware of that statement or not? It's item 2 on page 4 of the McVeigh memo, the last memo attached to Exhibit 50.
That is attachment A. This is towards the back of it.
I guess again, Mr. Smith, technically, yes, if he hasn't read the memo, he shouldn't be aware of the statement, I would guess. So the question asks something that's, so I think I just make a direct reference. Let's look at the statement if he has some comment related to it. Let's see what it is. So does he know where you're looking?
Do you have that?
I have in front of me, which I'm assuming is Exhibit 50, Mark 50 in here, a
right.
memo dated March 2, 2009, right. from Mr. Owsley and Mr. Vincent.
And there's a McVeigh memo attached to it.
Okay.
It's Appendix A on page 4.
Page 4 of the appendix?
Yes, sir.
Evidently, I'm not familiar enough with the memo to find the page.
You have to go clear through the memo, page 26, 27, when it goes to Appendix A.
Okay. Mike McVeigh.
There you go.
Page March 2, 2009.
Mr. Hearing Officer, I'll repeat my earlier objection beyond the scope. Furthermore, it mischaracterizes, I believe, what Mr. McVeigh's testimony is now, which was amended from this, the data this morning.
I believe the witness testified to water level trends in that area.
Well, I think there was testimony in the direct examination about the direction of water flow and the direction dependent upon potentials. So I'll overrule the objection on that basis. And I guess I don't recall, Mr. Faraday, the correction to this particular memo, at least this particular passage. So,
did you state in your direct?
Just a minute. So overruled at least right now. Thank you, Mr. Smith. Go ahead.
All right, did you look at item 2 there, the last sentence, on page 4?
All wells in the area except exhibit negative right. water level trends, is that the statement you're referring to?
Correct.
Okay.
Do you agree or disagree with that?
I wouldn't have a basis to agree or disagree with that specific to this situation, having not, I'm trusting our hydrology staff knows what's occurring out there more so than myself. That's why we have them. So I think my testimony in general was intended to be generalized, that water will move from high pressure to low pressure in between those zones depending on the hydrology of that area. So I can't say definitively if Mr. McVeigh says the water is going one direction, he has a lot more reason to state that than I do.
Okay, let me revisit this objection, because because I misunderstood the nature of this statement and the testing. As I understand this statement, it has to do with water level trends, not necessarily the direction of groundwater flow and vertical flow. And so consequently, this is beyond the scope, and I'll revisit it and sustain the objection. And then Mr. Whitney hasn't testified about this and doesn't know anything about the data that was used to develop these. So sustained, I don't want any more questions on this subject.
Did you not testify on direct just a few minutes ago that there were no declines in water levels in North Eagle area?
I believe my answer was I wasn't aware of any specific declines.
I guess I misunderstood your answer. No further questions.
Okay. Mr. Edmonds.
Okay.
Redirect, Mr. Fairley.